The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. An open line today till 1, so the floor is yours. Whatever's on your mind, call 66 13 68. Text, WhatsApp or email. A note in from John who said, Andy, the loss of soda and man, if it happens that way, if the Church of England decides we no longer have a bishop, if the bishop, the position of bishop, loses the vote in Tynwald and Ledgeco. The Reverend Audrey, author of Thomas the Tank Engine, based his book on the island railways, and of course, it's the island of Sodor for Thomas the Tank Engine. It'll mean another historical connection severed. And is November temporary traffic light month, says Mike. It would seem like it, wouldn't it, as we are at the moment. Dental waiting lists have been one of the most persistent pressure points for Manx care over the past couple of years. Thousands of island residents are struggling to access routine treatment, and children waiting years for a place on with an NHS dentist. Apparently, they've turned the corner. Apparently, are you finding this a lot easier to access? Let's get to the phones, first of all. Peter's with us now. Hello, Peter.
It's many apologies, Peter Murcott here, but there's a crucial vote on Tuesday, and what I'm going to say would be too late after that. It is the third reading of the bill about the bishop. One thing that they haven't considered, or those who are in favour of this, is that actually they're going to make it more likely than not that legislation will be held up. Now, I need to explain this. Something very unusual happened on Tuesday, which doesn't normally happen. You don't normally get a tie in the voting in Ledgeco because there's an odd number of people, 9 votes, you see. You'll get a majority vote, you know, or sometimes they call it a split vote, but you won't get a tie. Now, on Tuesday, they had a tie. When you have a tie, which I believe has been rare, because it's not often you've got a member away, the president of Tynwald, by convention, though not, there isn't a standing order on it, will always vote for the status quo, which means he votes to keep the law as it is. So if there's a new piece of law on which they're voting, he votes against it. And that is the traditional way. And that happened on Tuesday because there was a move to introduce a new clause into the Constitution Bill. There was a tie, 4-4, so the President's vote was cast against that. The reasoning is that a split vote isn't decisive enough to introduce a new piece of law. Now, what they are going to do, if they take the Bishop's vote away, they're going to make it far more likely than it's been at the moment that you're going to get a tie, because they're going to reduce the number of votes to 8. I've mentioned some figures earlier on this week that were very revealing, that where they'd had a split vote, that was a 5-4 vote, the bishop had been for 32 out of 41 occasions when there was a vote in Tynwald. The bishop's vote had been in favour of a measure that was coming from the House of Keys. In Tynwald, the two houses vote separately, but the vote has to succeed in both houses. Now, for 32 out of 41 occasions, the vote of the bishop swung it so that the Keys view prevailed. Now, if you'd had a tie on 41 out of 41 occasions, instead of just 9 out of 41, the Keys would have lost the vote, in effect, on that occasion, and they would have had to have brought the measure back at a future date. There are figures about what's happened since 2016 and 2023. There were 7 occasions when there was a split vote. On 6 of those occasions, the bishop's vote has gone with the measure that the Keys has been bringing forward. If you take the bishop's vote off, or if the bishop's vote hadn't been there, then it would have meant on 7 out of 7 occasions the will of the Keys would have been defeated by the vote in Tynwald, because the president, if there's a split, would, by custom and practice, put his vote for the status quo, i.e. against the motion. And it could also have an effect, of course, on legislation, acts of Parliament, when bills are going through there. So that's the first point. They haven't even started to think of that, but they're going to make a tie far more often, and they haven't reflected on the fact that historically, in the split votes, the bishops vote in favour of a measure rather than obstructing anything. The bishops' vote has actually helped measures to get through. So what they're doing is they're going to make that more likely. The other argument that I see here being argued is that they think that they're progressing democracy. Well, actually, in recent years, democracy's gone backwards as far as the Legislative Council goes, because time was when I think all your members of LegCo would have been former MHKs, which means those were people who at one time had won a seat through a general election. Now, I would be corrected if I'm wrong, but I can't think of who is there now, except for the president, who actually won a general election to the House of Keys.
Yeah, the last person would have been Bill Henderson.
Bill Henderson would have been the last one. Paul Crane did actually, I know that he once stood for the Keys. I don't know what the voting figures were. So all that I'm saying is, and I'm not criticising anybody, but all I'm saying is that this argument totally falls apart, that by removing the bishop's vote, you're somehow progressing democracy, because quite frankly, it's quite irrelevant. Democracy has gone backwards as far as the LegCo goes, and taking the bishop's vote off isn't going to make an atom of difference to the way things have gone in recent years. So all that I can say is that at the third reading of the bill, if, again, you've got a person absent and you get a tie on Tuesday, but it would require somebody to be absent, then the bill will fail.
Do you think, Peter, that they thought this through in that context?
No. I don't think they've thought any of it through properly. I think it's really been more emotive than actually going through the realities of the situation and taking out all these arguments about, oh dear, we've got some religious people in there and all that sort of thing. Those are non-arguments, because after all, you've got all kinds of people with all kinds of views in the LegCo. So to single out the bishop has been completely illogical. I think the whole debate has been noted for being totally illogical, based on assumptions that really don't stand up to objective analysis.
Okay. All right. We appreciate it. Peter, thanks for calling. Have a good
weekend. Yeah, thanks very much, Andy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. I think this bishop thing just shows, says 951, I think this bishop thing just shows the actual state of the government we have today. Not concentrating on things that matter. This is a sideshow. Does it hide an agenda on the side? Desmond says, what things have been waiting for discussion in Tynwald and have been held up by this bishop rubbish? That's what Desmond calls it. Only then will you find out the real reason behind the debate. The things that have been held up, just talking about the bishop situation. Des is with us. Hello, Des.
Hello.
Yes, Des.
I just leave the bishop alone. Let's get on with some work. That's what they're getting paid for, to get on with some work. Let me point out a few things. Let's take Douglas City, South Quay, Trafalgar site, no progress. North Quay, Newsham site, no progress. Lord Street bus station, no progress. Douglas Prom, a complete mess, designed by monkeys. Are there crossings for the pedestrians? Or what? It's a 20-mile-an-hour area, and people are still being knocked down trying to cross the road. Halfway horse tram. Absolutely no progress there. The worst lit promenade in the world. Bottom of Summerhill, scaffolding out halfway on the prom before you get up to Summerhill. No progress. Absolutely. Summerland site, no progress. What are we paying these people for?
Well,
well,
since you list everything, it makes quite a, sadly, it makes an impressive list.
Of course it does, because nobody's doing anything. And nobody's pointed it out. Well, I've pointed it out, because I've just sat here listening day after day about the bishop. The bishop's got a job to do. He's getting on with it.
Right.
They're not.
We appreciate it, Des. Thanks for calling today.
Okay.
17 minutes past 12. The Trafalgar site, well, quite actually, somebody's actually living in the Trafalgar pub at the moment. I think it's still owned by Mr. Rogers at the moment. But there is a television switched on in there, and I have seen people going in and out of it. But the rest of the Trafalgar site, you're quite right, Des, it's just a big hole. The Newsons site, progress there. I think the property company have got some planning on that, so the Newsons site will continue and will carry on. I think that company is quite... swift in getting stuff done. The Lord Street bus station, well, dear me, that was such an impressive building in its time. It was an air terminal. You could check in there for the airport at what's now Lord Street bus station. The promenade the Summerhill scaffolding. I got a message in from, I think it was Peter, It was Peter who said, "There's every year there's a, isn't there a competition for the towns that have the best floral display? You know, it's Peel in bloom, Ramsey in bloom, Douglas in bloom." Peter said, "I've got a competition that Douglas has won already for having the worst lights on the promenade. We're going to call it Douglas in Gloom." Douglas in gloom because of those. And who are they going to blame about them? For heaven's sake, get some festoon lights up. Make it look like it's what it's supposed to be, an attraction. Regarding Sunday, of course, Sunday is Remembrance Day. The Remembrance Day Sunday service for Laxey and Lonnon's taking place at 2 p.m. at All Saints Church, Church Road in Lonnon. At 2 o'clock in London, All Saints Church, wreaths will be laid at the war memorials by the captain of the parish and local groups and organisations. The service is going to be led by the vicar of the parish of St Peter's, Onken with Laxey and Lonnon, and you're very welcome to attend. So, of course, we'll be broadcasting live from St John's and also from Douglas Promenade on Sunday. Today, I asked the steam packet the sail and rail price for one adult to a destination in Yorkshire. They quoted me £83. I did the same job myself using two websites, got it for £69.19. Is this not another example of our publicly owned transport monopoly doing us? Thank you for that correspondent. Sail and rail always used to be... Don't they get the cheapest price? Anyway, if you've got that, if you find that out, if it's cheaper to go book your steam packet separate and go through one of the many train apps that there are, you would have thought that it would have kind of matched, wouldn't it? We've got David, I think, with us in just a few minutes. We'll find David. One thing I do want to mention is on Monday, of course, that Michelle Haywood's on Man in Line. Michelle Haywood, Minister for Infrastructure. And I'll come on to what's happening at the air traffic control later on, because I've got quite a few messages in regarding air traffic control. But any thoughts on that? The loss of Soda and Man, Thomas the Tank Engine would hold his head in shame. We'll get a word with Thomas the Tank Engine later, perhaps. We have bespoke benches on the promenade, says Liz D. Whoopee! Is that tongue-in-cheek, whoopee, or genuine? Peter was my law lecturer, says Ian. He was my law lecturer at college, and he knows what he's talking about, which is more than I can say for members of Tynwald. This half-baked idea of getting rid of the bishop's vote is a waste of Tynwald time. MHKs need to be told to get on with more important matters and shelve this half-baked idea, which is an excuse to avoid dealing with far more important matters facing the Isle of Man. Thank you. Now, lots of people have said this, that this is a waste of time, and we've got more. I mean, surely the politicians have got sensitive enough radar to know that for a lot of people, this appears to be a waste of time. There may be many people who think it's genuinely what we need to be concentrating on. We don't need to be concentrating on getting the right people to come to the Isle of Man to generate more funds, to generate business, to generate tax and income that will fund our public services. I just wonder what you think the politicians think about all this. David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I was just thinking of the word there when that fellow was on about the things that are not being done.
Yeah.
What have the Romans done for us?
Yes.
Or in this particular case, what have our politicians, our elected politicians, done for us? I think absolutely nothing. Zilch. And what are they doing for the future? I just want to add to the list, hope he doesn't mind, or you don't mind, and your listeners don't mind. Don't forget, we've got two pubs, the Quarter Bridge and the one down there, Derby Road.
The Bowling Green.
Bowling Green. We've got the old prison site. We have also, too, the Vehicle Testing Centre. What's happening with that? That's probably under the auspices of the DOI minister, and I'm sure she'll be listening to make sure what's happening today will maybe come up on Monday, so she'll get a little idea of it. But really, at the end of the day, what have they done? You know, you look at all the property that government own. Some in the back, somebody was saying to me they were going to sell some of the stuff off. All they've done, I think, is give money to some certain developers anyway, not everybody, to do things, and they haven't done the things that we want to be done, like the Summerland side, that one at the bottom of Summerhill, which has got the scaffolding on. That's really terrible. If that was happening to any builder on the Isle of Man, they would have been prosecuted for all. I just wonder when. Well, there's no planning for it, is it? Because they got the rug pulled under them underneath the planning department. Yeah. That was the DOI itself. And they've had it as an ancient building or a building with some crude ass on it. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my little contribution today. And I'll debate over the weekend with myself to see whether I'll come on to the minister and say to her on this issue to do with the local authorities. If she said to us, and I was listening to her over the balcony, and I'm trying to get the Hansard of it so I can give it to other people as well. She said she wasn't going to do these things to local authorities, so why is she bringing the bill forward? All she's got to do is say, instead of that Clause 5, we'll have real negotiations with the local authorities to do things. You can't put on thousands and thousands of pounds onto small local authorities. The rates would go through the roof, and people will be upset. All right.
Have a good weekend. Thanks, David.
See you, boy. Ta-da.
Right, 25 past 12 on Man in Line. Yes, we have bespoke benches on the promenade. There's something else, those benches, aren't they? Which way do they go? The old streetlights are being replaced by LED lighting. This has happened in the estate where I live, and the LEDs only cast a pool of light directly below the lamppost, while in between is dark. Walking home from the bus after dark has become hazardous on uneven pavements. The old streetlights were much more efficient, says H. Politicians have got tunnel vision. They get paid to sit there debating whatever it is, says 017. It wouldn't surprise me, says Gaz, if Liberal Vannin told Mr. Hooper the removal of the bishop's vote would help tie up government legislation and policy. Well, Tony suggested the other day that I can't recall it myself, but this is this official Lib Van policy that Liberal Vannin this was a Liberal, and obviously Mr. Hooper is a dutiful leader of the Liberal Vanning Party, and that he brought this forward as a private member's bill. And of course, it's been taken up, and the darn thing is running away with parliamentary time and certainly the publicity. If you book Sail and Rail steam packet, you're guaranteed to get to the destination even by taxi. If the boat or the train are delayed, now if you book separately, you're not. Oh, I get that, 1, 2, 3. So if you book Sail and Rail, the journey is guaranteed. Didn't know that, but then that's certainly worth mentioning and remembering. The politicians don't think, says Andrea. That's the problem. A question for Michelle Haywood on Monday. What improvements and efficiencies can be made to DOI to provide better services to the community of the island so that we, the taxpayers, get good value for money? Crikey, that would take 3 shows, wouldn't it? And also, Bride School, says 762. Bride School has been empty and unused for 20 years. That will make somebody a lovely home. Of course, when Des was talking about that whole list of things that the government has on its hands and nothing has happened, it may just be that we're at that stage in the business cycle where business confidence is low. You have to get the capital to take on a project, and obviously you have a finite amount of capital and it's got to be brought in on time, on budget, and you have to have a business plan for what's going to happen after it, particularly if it's commercial real estate. It just may be that either the government doesn't have the stomach for it, the heart for it, or the business community. I mean, who would take on something like Summerland? What sort of business would you put at Summerland? It is a huge site. Huge site. So can you imagine trying to redevelop Summerland? Gaz said, I think Mr. Hooper spends more of his time trying to stop Comin than anything else. Gary in Ramsey said, the first thing it was said, yeah, so about we were at Ramsey Grammar School yesterday. The pupils are in favour of having wind farms in the sea, says Gary in Ramsey. And what's your point, Gary? I mean, are you in favour of wind farms at sea? We were talking to the students at Ramsey Grammar School yesterday, had lots of opinions on lots and lots of different things. And why, oh why, is Michelle Haywood coming on A Man in Line? Well, because she's the Minister of Infrastructure. Said Andrew, that's the main reason she's on, because when she comes on, she does generate lots and lots of interest. I find it difficult to take people who are religious seriously, says Michael. Nonetheless, I treat them with respect and compassion, the same that I do for my 5-year-old daughter who believes in the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus. Long may it continue until she's old enough and aware enough to realise it's an abstract concept, says Michael. Thank you, 610. What do you say to everybody who's religious then, Michael? There are billions of people around the world who are religious. It's not just Christians. Right, text, email, call and WhatsApp. No, this waiting list thing, the dental waiting list thing. Dental waiting lists have been one of the most persistent pressure points for Manx Care. Thousands of island residents are struggling to access routine treatment. Now they say they've turned the corner. Here's the boss, Chief Exec Teresa Cope from Manx Care.
The process has been those individuals on the waiting list are in the process of being written to, being allocated, and the waiting list has now reduced to 1,500.
Just going to the contracts then and the change in the working relationship, how have they been altered? How long did those negotiations take?
The key thing in this was being able to offer an increased value to the unit of dental activity. And in return for that, we wanted them to agree to take these patients to be able to reduce the waiting list. As I say, it's money that we have had to really carefully consider whether we could afford to spend, but we know from the discussions with dental practices and what had happened in previous years that, you know, it was just not viable or competitive for our dentists to do as much NHS activity as what we'd specified or asked them to do as part of their contract. So they were under-delivering against the contract.
How will that affect Manx Care's budgeting in future years?
So it will be a recurrent uplift in budget needed. We made provision for in this financial year. It was part of our attempt to create more budget for out of hospital and for our mandate priorities. We will need to factor that into our budget planning next year, because fundamentally, if everyone delivers against their contract, it will continue to mean we don't have waiting lists, but it will mean there's a recurrent increasing expenditure of around £700,000 a year, which we need to make provision for.
Teresa Cope talking about the situation with dental waiting lists. In March 2023, dental waiting lists were 3,000. In October 2023, 4,268. That's what, 7 months. In September 2024, 5,500. In May 2025, 6,500. This is indicative of perhaps how many people are coming to the Isle of Man. This reflects a 124% increase between March 2023 and May 2025. Around 30% were children. Now, the plan's going to cost an extra $700,000 per year, potentially more when accounting for inflationary costs. And Manxcare said it's on track to eliminate the waiting list entirely by the end of March. You heard Teresa Cope. Have you got an NHS dentist? If you have got an NHS dentist, how long have you been there? And if you're now going private because you couldn't get an NHS dentist, how do you feel about that? Because you pay for it in your tax, your NI. That goes in to fund Manx Care and to provide the funds for those UDAs, units of dental activity, that are the cornerstone of the NHS dental service on the Isle of Man. Any thoughts? Text, email, call, WhatsApp.
Calling all Manx farmers! Manx Rock Limited now offer an all-in-one lime spreading service. Manx Rock supply, deliver and spread your lime. So make life easy. Get in touch today. For rates and to book your lime spreading slot, call Manx Rock now on 828845. That's 828845. Or visit Manx Rock Limited on Facebook and see what we can do for you.
Thinking about your next step? Whether you're leaving school, changing career, or aiming higher, University College Isle of Man is here for you. Join us at our open evening on Thursday, 20th of November from 4 to 7pm at our Homefield Road campus. Discover our courses, meet expert lecturers, explore the facilities, and see how UCM can help you belong, grow, and thrive. Visit ucm.ac.im for more information.
Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Man In Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Man In Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Man In Motors.
Flu season is here, but never fear. So is the chance to protect yourself. Whether you qualify for a free NHS flu jab or would like a private vaccination for just £20, Kingsley Mooty has made it quick and easy to get protected. Visit Kingsley Mooty on Facebook or call 625040. Get your flu jab today with Kingsley Mooty.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3 p.m. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
24 minutes before one, Liz D dropped a note in on 009 to say Summerland should be an open-air swimming pool in the summer and a skate park in the winter. A skate park? Oh, I see. Not an ice skating rink. A skate park. Summerland should be put back to how it was. Something for all ages, more or less, how it was. And an upmarket cinema, the one that was promised for the old bus station site. Well, you never know, do you, what's going to happen to the old bus station site? It was supposed to be that 14-storey apartment block. There was going to be a hotel in there. It feels like we're falling over backward for new arrivals, new dental appointment all of a sudden, and the new minimum wage. What's going on? Says Ralph. Minimum wage increase issue. I want to say reducing VAT for hospitality only fixes their problem, which is a social enjoyment for people to spend money out if you can afford it. What about the construction industries? A necessity for all our island businesses to keep young people's wage down. Make it age 25 and only above 25 and above only for the new wage. Help all businesses, not just some. And that's 382 with the point about the minimum wage. For I think another appointment that should be changed before the next election is the position of the president of Tynwald's, 648 this is. I think a retiring MHK or shouldn't be elected as president of Tynwald for at least 5 years and shouldn't be elected by sitting members of parliament, but should be elected by the incoming government. The reason I say this is it appears to be too cosy and jobs for the boys. Or the girls, for that matter, 648. Peter's quite right, says 045. Democracies have gone backwards since they recently began to note such figures and study them more. More countries than ever have been found to be run by autocratic one-party systems of government, as in totalitarian states. They've only been keeping these notes for the last couple of decades, and the number of democratic countries worldwide, let's remember, is at its lowest number to date. Is that so? Wow. I went private, dentist that is, about 3 years ago as my appointments kept getting cancelled on the NHS and I needed treatment. I had root canal treatment this week, cost me £407. If we have to go private, surely there should be a provision for some tax relief against any fees paid, said Sarah P. in Onken. Obviously, if you're paying private dentistry, you are not availing yourself of the NHS service. So do you think that should be the case then? If you use private dentistry, perhaps, I don't know, 10% of it could be offsetable against your tax bill. Don't you think about this? Oh, Graham sent a note in, and this is regarding the air traffic control. He said, could somebody please tell me what's going on with air traffic control? Well, new readers start here. We start in 2019 when the airport was first placed under regulatory enforcement status of special attention by the Isle of Man Civil Aviation Administration. In 2022, matters escalated. Ronald's Way was put, quote, on notice. Matters improved in May last year when Ronald's Way was taken back to the lesser special attention status following actions taken by the management team, and that's where it remains. It's on special attention. Now, separately, air traffic control was placed under special attention status in August of this year following an audit the month before. Now, the Minister, Michelle Hayward, told Tynwald at the time this was due to ongoing and well-documented staffing issues, i.e. the shortage of air traffic controllers. Do you remember the old joke about tea breaks? It's not a tea break, it's a fatigue break. And the fact that we don't have enough air traffic controllers and consequently we aren't flexible enough to cope with flights that might come late, typically later at night. Consequently, they get cancelled. Everybody has to stay in a hotel in the UK or stay over here, and it kind of mucks everybody's life up. Now, Manx Radio has been told that it's a level one finding. a critical finding that requires immediate and appropriate action. That means a major non-compliance was identified during the audit, potentially endangering the public, which is where this gets serious, potentially endangering the public. Well, flash forward to this week's House of Keys sitting, and other matter, airport matters have come to the fore, specifically around political oversight of employment matters. Now, a number of backbenchers cited concerns over communications sent to air traffic control officers, ATCOs they are, by the interim airport director, Jeff Pugh, who's been in the role since Gary Cobb departed a year ago. He was only there for a couple of years. Do you remember? He was the man who'd been at Highlands and Islands. Jeffrey Pugh previously was the air traffic control boss. In the background to all of this come allegations published online and shared with Max Radio of a toxic culture and claims that legitimate safety concerns were being rebuffed. It's complicated, and I hope you made something of that, but basically, things haven't been going well at the airport. Now, when I say things haven't been going well, nothing's crashed, nothing's burst into flames, nobody's died. But the fact is, an airport has a certain level of organisation and safety that is mandatory, simply has to happen. If it doesn't happen, then there will be consequences. Well, we tried DOI to see if they'd come on the air and say something, but they gave us something to read out. So we got Siobhan Fletcher to read it out. Siobhan?
Day-to-day operations at the Isle of Man Airport are undertaken safely by teams of qualified, experienced and dedicated staff whose sole focus is ensuring safe operations in partnership with our airlines, operators and third parties. The airport's performance in responding to safety concerns is monitored by the independent safety regulator, the Isle of Man Civil Aviation Administration. Staff members are able and encouraged to report safety concerns using established procedures contained in the airport's safety management system. Any concerns are investigated and followed up internally. Staff members are also able to report concerns directly and, if necessary, confidentially to the Isle of Man CAA. In addition to the airport's established safety reporting procedures, the Isle of Man government's whistleblowing procedures are also available to airport staff as government employees. There are clear mechanisms in place to address protected disclosures, which are independent of the airport.
Do you get it? This is our airport, remember. This is where people who visit the Isle of Man for the first time by air, it's where they come in. That's their first impression. And by common consent, times have changed. We've now got an app that you have to park for. I mean, you used to get an hour's free parking, no longer. Now you have to go into an app. And we don't even know how much money, how much of the revenue that's going through that app we're actually keeping. There was a situation where government phones couldn't load the app, the Ringo app, so government employees couldn't use the app. When Gary Cobb came in, Gary Cobb, the boss of the airport, came in, do you remember he said he didn't run all the airport? Part of it was run by DOI. He ran bits of it. Do you remember the situation where there was no parking suddenly? He couldn't park there? That there used to be warranted police officers there, and now there were private security guards who couldn't hand out tickets. So people were parking wherever they wanted. The security guards were telling them not to and were getting a mouthful, which they shouldn't get. The airport is not as pretty as it used to be. The horticulture isn't what it was. The car park isn't what it was. It looks a bit tatty. You've still got used chewing gum trodden into the pavement outside. There are still dog ends by the smoking area on there. I got a message from somebody who yesterday was supposed to be flying to Manchester in the 3 o'clock flight to Manchester. It got put back because the airport, the airline aircraft went tech, and they were suddenly told, no, it's not going to go. So everybody piled outside, and they were told that you were being put up at the Comus Hotel, not the Sefton Express, the Comus Hotel. How do you get there? Get the bus. And we're told it's only a short walk from the bus stop by Mount Murray to the Comus Hotel. It's not a short walk at all. and there were many elderly people there and people with cases, sometimes a lot of cases, and it was dark. Can you imagine the impression that that gives? Can you tell people there are two mountain bike riders heading in the direction of Ramsey? It's thick fog on the mountain, so drivers beware. And there are also many cars with no lights on the mountain. We've also had an excellent former head of ATC on gardening leave for 2 years at the airport. Is this so? And a note in from Ollie, who just said, maybe you don't know, but the general aviation world at the airport is not what it was. The GA people don't think they're getting a fair crack of the whip. All in all, the airport, said Ollie, I think is in a bit of a mess.
It's amazing how new curtains and blinds can transform your interior. And in Millichap's curtain department, you'll be spoiled for choice. With made-to-measure curtains and thousands of fabrics to choose from, along with curtain poles, whether classic or contemporary, plus window blinds in a huge range of styles, from roller to Roman. And don't forget Millichap's fabulous selection of wallpapers, with free measuring service and installation available for windows and walls. It's all in store at Millichap's.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
For over a century, the Royal British Legion has supported veterans and their families through financial, physical and mental challenges. Here on Ireland, 8 branches and hundreds of volunteers keep that mission alive. Find out more. Contact Anne on 472 742. Join us in remembrance and support our Poppy Appeal, helping every generation of our armed forces.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Here. As Santa's busy, I'm going to decorate the grotto ready for Christmas. And I hear that Ramsey Garden Centre is full of festive goodies, decorations, lights, gifts, even Christmas trees. Ramsey Garden Centre opens 7 days a week on Albert Road.
Meet Jane.
When Dad began forgetting the little things, we knew we needed help. Mum Benham walked us through every step.
Real stories, real solutions. Secure tomorrow today with Mum Benham.
5 unbeaten but searching for another long-awaited home victory. Can FC Isle of Man bring their fans joy at the Bowl this weekend? The Ravens are back on Manx soil this Saturday in the NWCFL Premier Division, and this time it's Pilkington making the trip, who'll be hoping to steal the show in front of an Ireland crowd. Join Darren Timpson and Tony Meppam for FC Isle of Man versus Pilkington, kicking off this Saturday at 6 p.m. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for joining Manx Radio this Friday lunchtime. If you want to contribute, by all means, call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. WhatsApp, same number. Email studio at manxradio.com. Lots of messages. I've got a very good NHS dentist, but remember, says Joyce, there's still a charge. There's still an NHS charge when you have stuff done. My husband and I have been paying Denplan for many years and are now pensioners, says Mary, and we can't afford the Denplan fees as they go up and up and up. So we put ourselves on the NHS dental care waiting list. Let's see if by next March we get word that we've been accepted, says Mary. They always say, though, Mary, that there is, if anything goes badly wrong, there's the emergency dentist at weekend. So Manx Care, there is an emergency dental service for there if you have dental problems at the weekend. Tony said, always disappointed when I look around the town and see what we've lost due to poor decision-making by our MHKs. This is Douglas, presumably. The bus station site is an eyesore, should be replaced with a purpose-built terminal. I live in South Douglas, and I, for one, will be thinking very carefully who gets my vote next year, says Tony. When Mr. Pugh became head of air traffic control, was he able to do air traffic control? If needed, if not, why not? Surely that's a requisite for the role. My recollection, Andrea, is that Mr. Pugh did have an air traffic control qualification, but it was a military air traffic control qualification, not a civilian one. So, to the best of my knowledge, he couldn't jump into the seat, whereas I think previously the previous head of air traffic control could. That's Mr. Pugh, former head of air traffic control, now the interim airport director. Back in the late 1970s and early 80s, there was an airports board, says David on 544, comprising 6 or 7 members who weren't directly involved in the running of the airport, apart from the airport director. What happened to that board? The airport troubles, says John. Well, at least there's a boat in the morning. Well, most days there's a boat in the morning, I see. Getting back to that. I remember when I started Man in Line in 1998, Manx Airlines came in for some awful, awful criticism. Normally it was on price, because Manx Airlines gave a terrific service. It wasn't what you call a budget airline, but they did do offers, didn't they? But the more things change, the more it's the same thing, isn't it? Plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose. There's been a lot of talk about showing ID in coming in on the ferry, but you don't have to coming through the airport either. I've been travelling back and forth to Liverpool for treatment, and you only have to show photo ID if you have hold luggage on the Logan Air flight. Regarding Ronaldsway Airport and associated problems, where's the troubleshooter when you need him? Where's the, didn't they have a guy there who was a reality TV star who was working at the airport for a while? Regarding the assisted dying bill, I've had a question in just to say, is the assisted dying bill, has it got royal assent yet? No, we think it's still awaiting royal assent, and that means if it does get royal assent, it's going to be, I think, it's going to be, because royal assent's still pending, the earliest it's going to be promulgated is the next Timwell day after assent is given. So if assent's given before the 5th of July next year, it could be promulgated on Timwell Day 2026. If assent is given after 5th of July next year, it could be promulgated at the 2027 Timwell Day instead, or via an emergency promulgation route. Also, even after promulgation, the law won't necessarily become operational immediately. The implementation date is likely later, probably 2027, to allow for all regulatory and safeguard work. And also, for that matter, finding somebody who would actually do it, because at the moment, we don't quite know who would, as it were, administer it. Here's Mike with us now. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Andy. First of all, the bishop's vote. I mean, my mum's family were religious, still are, her side of the family, although she's not. And my dad's family wasn't. We went to Sunday school, this is in the 60s, and when we became teenagers, we were allowed to make our own choice. And all three of us brothers decided, no, we didn't believe in it, fair enough. Now, we do live by Christian values. I still live by Christian values, although I'm not religious. So I think we do need somebody who has the guidance, if you like, to keep those values, because we don't want the values of some of the other religions.
Well, I think one point, Mike, is that the bishop has never... It's not like the bishop quotes the Ten Commandments all the time. The bishop is in there, if you like, as a voice of moderation and experience, not necessarily a religious, but just a voice of moderation.
Correct. So we've wasted time and time and time. Is that, how many times has this come to Timwell now?
Oh, crikey, it's been going on for longer than the Douglas Promenade.
Yeah, so we're wasting all this time and money, like everybody else has said. And when you've just been talking about the airport, which is really important, and they're discussing the vicar's vote the bishop's vote instead, really, they need a good wobble. A lot of them. Somebody needs to take them outside and give them a reset. Because this is just ridiculous. We need to get on with the things that are important. I mean, none of the others are voted in by the public. I know they're voted in by the politicians that you have voted in yourself. Our system is a lot better than party politics on a small island, because just look at the mess of my country, England, at the moment. All they do is spend time just reversing each other's policies, and have made a right mess of England. I certainly wouldn't go back. So that's just my take on it. They're just wasting far too much money and not doing the important things, and getting the airport and security at the ferry terminal. We could get that passed in a couple of days. They did it during COVID. Just say, right, we can see what's happening. we want, we've got loads and loads of drug problems, whatever, we need to have photo ID.
That's interesting.
To get into the island.
That's a very good point. During COVID, they moved like billio, didn't they, to get stuff through?
Also, and they can do it again if they want. The trouble is, they don't want. They're just being lazy.
Right.
There's obviously some who are working really hard, but there are others who are obviously just swinging the lead.
All right. Good to have you. Thanks for calling today, Mike. Cheers now. And Betty's with us on Man in Line. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. Just a quick word. Keep the bishop, get rid of the others.
All right. A simple formula. Have a good weekend, Betty. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
My observation regarding the statement provided by the DOI airports is that the various references to whistleblowing and complaints suggest far greater issues than we realise. It sounds bad enough that Comin should get themselves down to the airport now and sort out what is going on at the airport. My sister was on that Manchester flight, or not on that Manchester flight, and it was basically uncivilised what was happening, telling people to get on a bus to go to the Mount Murray Hotel, sorry, the Comus Hotel. Well, 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 what do people think? That's it. Thank you, Ollie. Thanks to Renee as well, and thanks to Chris on the phones. Back on Monday.
WIN.